This is the August 24th, 2021 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. We believe we have achieved a quorum, and I'm now going to ask the secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the roll. My name is James Sagerton, the chair of the committee. Thank you. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen?
Present.
Nick Arena? Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Lyndon Foley? Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Here. Here.
Okay. Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
And that's nine, and that's certainly a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Appreciate that. I'm going to read the agenda before we see if we can adopt it. The agenda, number one, convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Number six, schedule an executive session for each of the next two NFC meetings. I did not put any time behind that, but let's call it 3 minutes. Number seven is check registers to NETA. No time limit on that either. Let's put 10 minutes on it, please.
That's 10 minutes?
Yes. Shall I read the motion or leave that to later?
Oh, please, later.
Very good. Number eight is review the draft 2021 KPFK budget, non-personnel expenses. That's 60 minutes question and answer with KPFK. It says A, sorry, typo. KPFK business manager Barry Brooks. Number nine, ICFO report, Central Services Payment Report, 20 minutes. Report and question and answer. That's with Anita Sims, our ICFO. Number 10 is the budget timeline for fiscal year 2022, 10 minutes. Number 11, national office updates. I will leave the list of what they are out for our Paul's sake. Number 12 is new business. Number 13 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. I think depending on how long we spend with Barry, the times may be a little optimistic here, but we'll see how it goes.
R. Paul for stat?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, first, in terms of when I do the minutes, I'm going to do this agenda, but I'll leave those motions, the text of the motions, out.
Fine.
Also, on number 11, NO updates, I'll expand that to national office, okay?
Fine.
Also on number 11, there's no time.
Correct. Why don't we put 5 minutes on it? We're not really going to discuss each item. It's just I want to call the attention of the committee back that we need those updates.
Okay. Okay, and number 12, I don't see a time on either.
Yeah, I think we could do the same there, 5 minutes.
Okay, so
that's a wish list. I don't think we'll get to it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. Thank you for being the secretary for all these years and doing such good work. It's much appreciated. Okay. Now we'll go to the chair's announcements. 2 minutes. The only announcement we have tonight.
We have to approve the agenda first.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, we do. I'll make the motion to approve the agenda as corrected. Is there any discussion?
I move it. We approve it.
Good. I already did that. Is there any objection? Hearing no discussion, is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. And now we go to the chair's announcements. Only one brief announcement tonight, which is that tonight we have as our guest the KPFK business manager, Barry Brooks. In keeping with our practice, we will honor Mr. Brooks' time by hearing him first after we deal with some preliminary matters. I want to thank Barry again for being here on short notice. He got short notice for this and was willing to accommodate us, and we appreciate that. Okay. Now we can go to the minutes approval. R. Paul, do we have minutes? I understand we do.
Yes, indeed. We have minutes, and let me grab something and put it in. Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of the August 10th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion, corrections? Hearing none, is there any objection to approving the August 2021, August 10 minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider them approved, subject to later correction, always. Number six, we need to schedule an executive session for each of the next two meetings. I have a motion which I'd like to read. And it is motion, whereas because the NFC may have proprietary and confidential matters of Pacifica business to discuss, therefore, be it resolved that there will be an executive session noticed for a part of each of the next two scheduled meetings, the time and necessity of said sessions to be determined by the chair as information becomes available. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Go ahead.
Okay. So that means the next two meetings, which will be, and I'm looking for it here. Yes. No, not that. Okay. So that means the September 14th and September 28th meetings.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
If you want to stick in the date, we can do that. And
We all heard it. Nobody says that's not the next two meetings, so I think we can leave it as it is.
Very good. Okay, we'll do that then. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. I'll keep everybody updated on that. Number seven, this is hopefully our last preliminary item, check registers to NETA. This is a motion. I'd like to read the motion. Motion, whereas Pacifica needs to know its short-term cash position, therefore be it resolved that the NFC recommends to the PNB that it direct the GMs, BMs, and directors of each budgeted unit to update all entries for month-end closing, and provide NETA a check register electronically of everything that was paid for the month.
Our
is there any discussion? Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Okay. Could we just expand? Okay, first of all, recommends that it direct. Could direct be lowercase instead of uppercase?
Of course.
Okay, so we'll do that. I don't think that needs to be a amendment or anything. And then could GMs and BMs be just expanded to general managers and business managers?
Of course.
Okay. All right. That's just that way it'll read better for folks, I think.
I appreciate that. I agree.
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
May I ask Anita if any stations are currently providing that to her?
May I answer that?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anita.
Yeah. No, none of them are, unless we request it. But what I'm wanting to have is to have it done automatically after they key in all their information and before we, you know, start doing month-end close, that they provide that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
I do have another question. Anita, is this in any way related to the bank balance information that you're not getting from one of the stations?
No, but it's related. But that you'll give us an opportunity to review if there's what is in transit and a true cash in bank. Could be deposit, could be a check.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. Thank you, everyone. And now we go to number 8, and this is a review of the draft 2021 KPFK budget. Non-personnel expenses. This is going to be a 60-minute question and answer with KPFK business manager Barry Brooks. Welcome, Barry. Again, thank you for being here, again, on short notice. This is intended to be informal. I didn't ask you, and I assume you did not prepare a report. So we basically just wanted to go back and forth with questions and answers, and we're looking specifically, as I think I told you beforehand, with particular interest at the phone expenses at KPFK and any other expenses. We're basically trying to look at ways to cut expenses at KPFK without digging into personnel as much as possible. Barry, if you'd like to say anything to begin with,
I'll let you go ahead. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. So I want to say that bear in mind that when you're looking at cutting costs for telecom services, that we have cut back all of the telecom services that we can possibly do without hindering the station. So just bear that in mind in the last year that we've done that.
I do bear that in mind. Thank you, Barry. And I also realize we need to separate out your expense. We see that you have transmission lines and internet lines and connections mixed together with your telephonic services. So we're hoping we can dissect that a little bit, separate it out, not least of which so we can put some of it where it would properly go into programming expenses, and then other of it where it would properly go into administrative expenses, which helps us with things like Charity Navigator and their estimation of how much money we're spending on programming versus administrative costs. Of course, donors like to see a good balance there of less administrative expenses and more program expenses. Just for our general accounting and for those kinds of purposes, we'd like to try and disambiguate some of this stuff. And Barry, if you have anything else to say before we start, and if not, I'm going to go to Fred Blair first, who has been studying this through the week with information that was provided by Barry. And Anita has been studying it. I've been looking at it, and I think Chris Corey maybe have been looking at it. So let's start with Fred and see where we get.
Okay. Thank you, James. Actually, I've been studying it for the last 24 hours since I got your statements on Monday at, I believe, noontime here at KPFK. Barry, you provided a spreadsheet where you broke down the billing items that go into the telephone line item. The largest bill was actually a bill from AT&T for the station, a billing. Looking at the AT&T bill on the first page, the summary, the bill was pretty neatly divided in two by two charges of this is the bill for, I believe, July 7th. There are two charges of one of $1,895 and one of $1,856. Excuse me a second.
Fred, before you go on, I'm going to ask you, are you looking at the documents that you forwarded to us? And if so, which one, so everybody can look at that?
Yes. The bill I'm referring to is a scan of the July 7th AT&T monthly bill. And there's a secondary AT&T monthly bill, I think, for $350 or something like that. But that I'm not looking at. So on the first page.
Okay, just so the committee knows, Fred. So the committee knows that first one out at 5:19 p.m. about 3 hours ago to the NFC, and then you sent it out again just before the meeting started, right, Fred?
That's all. That's correct, James.
Okay. So I hope everybody can catch up to that.
Question: is this the one that starts out AT&T JUL?
I believe so. It's a TIF.
It's a
TIF image. It's a scan. Basically, it's a TIF image scan of the bill. It's seven pages, and I'm starting out with the first page because that's the relevant point. In any case, the AT&T itself divides the bill into internet services and telephone services. So I'm concerned that this bill, you're putting the entire bill under telephone, but I'm concerned that at least half of the bill is non-telephone related and maybe should be in another category than telephone services. Barry, do you want to respond?
Well, although it is AT&T Internet Services, KPFK has always categorized these expenses from AT&T as telecom expenses. So I don't see what the benefit of transferring the Internet services to a different account number would help. I don't understand how that would help, but the way it is, it's being categorized as telephone services under internet. And the same thing with the Telepacific Communications bill, too. And they do have some type of internet charges on their bill, too. So it's all being charged through telephone because it's all coming through the telephone line.
Could I respond, Barry?
Go ahead, Fred.
The issue here is that looking at the Pacifica consolidated P&L statement, the other four stations under the next line item under telephones is internet cable/cable, and the other stations have broken out their expenses such that they've taken the internet expenses and website hosting expenses and put them in different line items. So the problem for us is the apples to oranges problem. When trying to compare KPFK's telephone expenses, which are 4 to 5 times the size of any of the other stations, and we don't have a line item for internet expenses. It makes things difficult because we're not sure, you know, what we're seeing here. So that's my concern as treasurers that it's confused, because the telephone charges are so large, and when you start getting into them, it seems like there are things that should be in other line items. James, I'm not sure how to proceed with this discussion. As I say,
well, let me ask Barry a question myself, and then perhaps we can go to Anita and ask her for her opinion on how this would help or not. Barry, what we're trying to do is create a budget for KPFK for this year, and of course, we have the next year coming right up. So we're trying to figure out how to help you balance your revenue and your expenses. And to do that, of course, we want to look at each thing separately and compare it to some of the other stations and see how it's similar and see how it's different. So we can see if there's are reasonable places where we could request that management make adjustments to reduce the expenses. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where in the June financials, we saw KPFK coming in at a monthly deficit of $91,000. Of course, that's not sustainable. So we're not trying to harm the station, of course. We're trying to see what we can do to help you get the revenue and expenses into more of a balance to help the station and to help the entire network. So that's what we're about. I'm sure you understand that.
I do. It's just that we're so late in the game. This is the month of August for the fiscal year 2021 performance. What you're saying makes sense, but I would think we try to make the adjustment for the new year of fiscal year 2022. We have budgeted website expenses for KPFK at, you know, $3,500. There is no way that I budgeted internet services for the website expenses because we don't have an internet account. Now, you can go ahead and create an account for internet services, and, yeah, that could be extrapolated and put into that particular account number. But I don't see the benefit of doing it so late in the game for fiscal year 21. For fiscal year 22, I understand. You could do that, yeah.
Well, yes, we do understand. We do understand, Barry, that we are very near to the end of this fiscal year. But we are empowered at the moment to come up with a budget for KPFK, which KPFK was unable to do throughout the year. And so we're going to take advantage of that authority that we have to do that. And in so doing, try and fashion a template for the 2022 fiscal year. So it's sort of a combined mission that we're on here. We're getting a jump on 2022, and we're also trying to use 2021 as a template. So, Fred, I heard you trying to jump in there.
If you're trying to slash expenses, I think you would try to eliminate some telephone lines before you would try to eliminate internet services.
Well, that's
staff.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're trying to separate out in looking at your bills to figure out what is telephone expenses and what is internet expenses, and see, you know, again, how it compares to other stations, how it compares to the needs at KPFK, and see if there's any room to make changes. But of course, that is where we're headed, is to, you know, try and do the least damage possible, but make some cuts that will bring the expenses in line with the revenue. So you hit the nail right on the head. That is what we're trying to do. Fred, before you continue, I just want to ask Anita if she wants to weigh in on this.
I do, sir.
James, can you hear me, James?
Is that Chris? I hear you, yeah. Chris. So let me hear from Anita, and then we'll go to Chris.
That's fine. I just want to be on the stack. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll be quick. And Barry, you are correct. The reason that they're wanting, you could do a spreadsheet to separate those costs just for us to see what the year-end is for comparison against the other stations. So, I mean, and I'd go in and do it month by month, but do it at let's say, July, August financials, if you will. And then if we separated them, we can compare apples to apples, if you will. And then that number also becomes the basis for the new 2022 budget. Thank you.
That was said much more precisely and concisely than I said it, Anita. I appreciate that. Chris, go ahead.
Actually, James, I thought you did just fine. The $20,000 number that Barry gave us, which is half of the AT&T budget, that's very much in line with what other stations are spending. So what we're talking about here, what is of interest, is the other expenses, not the internet services. So Barry mentioned the possibility of cutting a couple of lines. What exactly did you mean by that, and what is your presumed impact of doing that?
Well, the statement that I sent Fred on page, I believe it's page 3, there's a detail of 12 telephone lines coming into the station that make up, you know, lines that go through the studio, all over the station. That's where I thought that, you know, you could probably eliminate maybe a couple of lines where it wouldn't be so detrimental to the station as far as handling incoming calls and outgoing calls during fund drive. It's all spelled out. I gave Fred a spreadsheet that actually details this AT&T phone service of $3,700, which makes up web hosting, internet service charge, and then I also listed the account numbers, the telephone numbers there on that spreadsheet. And what the subtotal is for that particular, for those 12 lines.
Okay. James, can I have a follow-up question?
Yes, please. And then we'll go to Fred.
Okay. My second question would be, so the AT&T number is approximately, it's not quite half the bill. What's 50% plus of what's listed as telephone? I'm sorry. If I include the internet and the AT&T telephone, that is approximately, it's a little less than half the bill. What is the other half of that bill? And I understand that there you provided the details. I don't have them in front of me. So if you could just verbally say it, that would be helpful.
Well, the other part of it is the internet service charge, which is $465.45. If you eliminate the web
hosting. Okay, I'm not talking about the AT&T bill. Let me get back to numbers here. So what Anita is showing for telephone is over $100,000. Approximately $40,000 of that is AT&T. What is the other $70,000?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is made up of Finality, NetFortress, Telepacific. Finality comes in at $1,800 a month. And Telepacific Communication comes in at $3,300 a month. And then, of course, we have the cell phone for the staff here. And then we also have one phone line that is at Mount Wilson that handles our ADI line.
Okay, could you explain what the Telepacific is? Yeah, that's my last question on the phones.
Okay, the Telepacific communications is the charges for long distance and also internet. We do get charges for internet there too, and then also local calls. In the past, we've been having problems, not really problems, but we're kind of questioning all the calls that are going international. There are a lot of calls on that bill that go international to Germany, to Mexico, all over the world, and we were trying to get a handle on that. A lot of those calls were coming out of an extension, which was 504, which is located in our telecom room. So it has come down, but we still do have international calls coming out of that particular vendor for Telepacific.
Okay, thank you.
Could Fred respond?
Yes, go ahead, Fred.
I think there's some confusion here. The telephone part of the AT&T bill, which is $1,895 this last in July, is for 12 cell phone numbers, and that may include paying for cell phone headsets. Now, the Telepacific charges, which are, I believe, is our voice over IP system at the station. Is that correct, Barry?
That's correct. But I don't know about that cell phone.
Well, I believe the cell phones
I thought
are.
Those,
I believe the cell phones are on.
Those
the,
numbers
are on the AT&T.
I don't think those cell. I listed those numbers on that particular spreadsheet, and they have a 985 sequence, and that's our number here at the station, 985-2711 and 5735, I believe. So I don't think those are cell phone numbers.
Okay. Well, there's obviously some confusion here. We have a system at the at KPFK, where a voice over IP system, and I think we have something like 25 cell phone units that plug into that, and as part of that, I think they have a internet gateway to connect to their phone server on the internet. I'm not sure about the Phonality Fortis system, if that has to do with long distance calling or what. Barry?
I gave you that detail of the NetFortress Polycom. What we're doing with that is that particular charge is for the Polycom phones that we have here, the physical phones that we have at each workstation and offices, and it's also for TeleConnect Smart Voice. So that's what we charge for Phonality.
So we have two types of phones, two types of hardwired phones in the station, voice over IP and another system, the Phonality NetFortis system?
That's correct.
The problem here is that the phone system at the station is fairly complicated and has been going under changes for the last 2 years. They've been changing over to voice over IP for about 3 years now. And we used the voice over IP system during the fund drives when we had a fund drive room at the station, which we haven't used for a couple years now because of the COVID lockdown. Again, James, I'm going to turn it back to you. I'm trying to get clarity here on why our phone system is so complex and so costly.
Well, why don't you go ahead and take a breather, Fred, and work on additional questions, you know, review your notes. And I would like to ask a question, but let me see if anyone else has a question first.
Paul?
James, I have a lot of questions that have nothing to do with the phone. Are we going to get – we only have 20 minutes left. Are we going to be able to cover those?
Hopefully we will, but actually we've only used about 20 minutes in this item.
Okay, maybe we got a later start than I
– Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. No worry about that. But, yeah, I hope we will go on to other items eventually, but – one of our main focuses was the phone system, and I thought you, Chris, had some ideas for the new phone system that you guys are using at KPFA that you might want to share with Barry, but I'll leave that up to you. But I did hear R. Paul. Was there anybody else? Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, my thing is, could we hear file names for what people are talking about? I've got that AT&T bill, and by the way, rendering a multi-page TIFF is really not so great a way to present this. But I heard there's a spreadsheet in here somewhere. Could we that Barry Brooks mentioned. Could we hear what the name of that spreadsheet is so we can follow along with it?
It's our Paul Fred here. It's KPFK Telecom Expenses .xlsx.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask the question that I had. Barry, I too was a little mystified by you saying that you had these phones that were used for the fund drive. Is that, I mean, I thought all stations were currently using call centers due to COVID. Did you just not dismantle your existing system? You're keeping it in place and therefore paying for it while you're using a call center? Or what's the status of that now?
Yeah, that's correct. Those phone lines are in place until, you know, we could go back to normalcy at the station where we can handle our own fund drive and not have to pay an outside phone service to handle the incoming calls. So, yes, those phone numbers are sitting there idle during this time period, yes.
Do you know if there is any availability for – I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. I spoke over you. Sorry.
Until we can go live with the phone during a fund drive. Now, let me also interject that our cell phones are being handled through T-Mobile. That's another expense that's under the telephone expense. So Fred was mentioning that these are cell phone numbers. That's not true, because our cell phones are being handled through T-Mobile.
Okay, we can go back to that. But do you know if anyone has checked into whether or not there's some way that you can put those phone services on hold for a period of time and not have to pay the full service charge on them? Is there anything like that in place, or did anyone look into that?
Not on this end. No.
Just a thought. You might pass that along.
I did mention to AT&T if we could get a discount during the pandemic, but apparently I guess they wouldn't give it to us. So I did ask that question.
You might ask them if there's a way to put those phone services on hold until you resume use, and just to check.
Anita Bustaff.
Yeah, I can mention that.
Anita Bustaff.
I hear Teresa and then Anita. Go ahead, Teresa.
You know, Barry, we at KPFT had a lot of AT&T bills, and we asked that someone review them. It wasn't until we had a general manager who was very technologically skilled that he went in there and he saw what we needed and didn't need. And personally, it is not unusual for businesses like AT&T to give you the runaround, and therefore you end up paying a chunk of money. I don't know. Who's the interim general manager now at KPFK?
Still Mo Thomas.
Mo, can you get with Mo, and maybe Mo can get with David if Mo doesn't have the answers already, to consider what you can do, because it sounds like you might be losing thousands of dollars every month on these phone bills that are not necessary, and that's a person's salary, and you certainly can use use these employees. If you have phone lines that you're paying for that are just sitting idle, somebody just needs to negotiate with them.
Correct. Like I said before, we've gone through this toward the beginning of the year. Back in November, we were trying to cut back. We were making analysis of our telecom expenses with Amiel, who was the general manager at that time, and we've made significant cutbacks. Even back then. So, I can still try to do what I can to try to cut back some of the phone lines. Yeah, I could do that. There's no problem.
You might want to have Mo call David Bass, who was our general manager, and ask him for some advice on that, because it might be able to save you additional money.
Okay.
Were you done, Teresa?
Yeah, for now. Thank you.
Sure. Let's go over to Anita.
Barry, when you have an opportunity, I was trying to isolate the reoccurring charges, and I see that on page 5 of the scan document is $853.90, which tells me that's per month. And is that for the phones that are not being used, for the desk phones?
I think that is, yeah. I'm not sure, but I would have to check on that. I think that is what that is, yeah.
I think it is, and that's over $10,000 right there. If you were not paying that on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, perhaps you can take that back as well. Anybody else with any other questions about the phones?
This is Chris. I just have a quick
go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say that KPFA had a really serious problem with their telecommunications bills as well a couple of years ago. And I know that they consolidated and switched carriers and eliminated some stuff. And I believe they freed up, I don't want to get the figure wrong, but it was over half. I think it was a lot over half of the cost of the telecommunications. And the reason I think that comparison is relevant here is that, you know, that they're both stations have a lot of staff. They're both out here on the West Coast, so they have similar carrier capability, you know, and availability for those that are regional and not national. So it just seems logical to me that KPFK should be able to duplicate whatever KPFA did. I think Sharon Adams would have a decent feel for that. Also, of course, Maria, the business manager, and Quincy McCoy would know. So that's I wish I could tell you myself, but I can't remember the details of it right now.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else? So, Barry, I have a couple of quick... Oh, go ahead, Teresa.
I just wanted to mention again, Barry, don't assume that because you cut it, that it can't be cut again. And cutting it without you suffering, because I think you're paying for things that you don't need right now and haven't needed for over a year. And there's no saying that that if you cut some of those expenses, let's say these pledge lines that you don't need right now, that you couldn't make some sort of arrangements with another carrier at the end of the pandemic, for example. So I'd say by all means, check with KPFA, you know, check around, because I think that somebody at AT&T gave you the runaround just because they could. I'm so sorry, but I think you might be rewarded if you pursue this a little bit further. Thank you.
Okay, Barry, this is Jim. I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions. You mentioned that you had made some cutbacks from your previous stance in the phone system, and I was wondering what percent were you able to save at that time when you did your previous look at this?
Well, when we made the cut,
if you know.
It was about 15%.
15?
Mm-hmm.
15%,
got it. ISDN lines and other repetitive lines that we didn't need. So, yeah.
Got it. Another quick question. You mentioned international calls that seem to be coming from one particular phone line, or maybe not just one, but, you know, seemed to be like one was the main phone that they were coming from. Do you believe that that's phone service that's improperly being used, or what's the situation there? I mean, does KPFK, I know it's a radio station, you do public affairs, so you may have need to talk to people in other parts of the world, but what is the belief there about what the explanation is? That is there a reasonable explanation for that, or is that something that bears further looking into?
Well, it seems that the calls are coming in after hours,
like late night, like 10 o'clock at night. They're being placed during that time period. I'm not monitoring the station, or I'm not here during after hours, so it would have to be looked at further, because I don't know, you know, who's making the calls or what. But I know that it was coming from a certain extension, which was 504, and that's located in our telco break room. In our telco room. So.
I guess what I'm wondering maybe is there some way to lock that phone up overnight or something?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe just unplug it and put it somewhere where so there's no phone there. I imagine with all the phones around the building, maybe, you know, that might not be the solution, but just curious.
Teresa, is back.
And Fred.
Okay, Teresa, let me just ask a couple more quick questions. Well, I guess I did have some other questions, but I'll let them go for now. Barry. And this is a difficult time. We've already had difficult cutbacks involving personnel at KPFK, and it's very painful for everyone involved. And so, again, with a $91,000 a month deficit, it just doesn't seem plausible to maintain that we can't do any more without damaging the station. I mean, the alternative is going to be that the cuts are going to be made for you, and then you'll have to figure out how to adjust to a reduced budget. So I really urge you to get ahead of this and not let that happen, because I think it would clearly be more difficult. You know, something's got to give here, and I don't know what it is, and we have to work on finding the best place to make the adjustments, but we have to do something.
Well, to me, the elephant in the room is the revenue. I mean, it's the programming. You got to come up with more creative programming to attract a larger audience. Do that, then your revenue is basically probably going to go up and increase. Now, getting back to what you said about the $91,000 deficit in June, that is done because we were in fund drive in the month of June, so we're on our own. There wasn't that much money coming in, but when we are in fund drive, we seem to do better, and we need to have more money in revenue so we can spread out our fund drives. That's the ideal model, but. No, I don't see anyone coming up with any ideas as far as changing the program to try to build your audience. We're losing our audience.
Go ahead.
That's what's causing the deficit.
There's
nobody out
check.
There that wants to make donations anymore.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, I myself have issue with laying off some of the people that bring in the money. That's difficult to justify. I understand that, of course, audience is the underlying issue, but in the meantime, until we can rebuild the audience, we just can't go on having these kinds of deficits happening. So I do appreciate that. And, that's something that has to be addressed at the station. Station has to figure out how to do that, and I realize you are a bean counter, you're not a bean grower. I get that. I acknowledge that that's where the ultimate problem is. Teresa, was that you?
Yes.
And then Fred.
Go ahead.
Barry, one of your jobs, Barry, I'm sure, is to kind of control this situation. Again, it's like riding a chariot, you know, with the horses trying to go in different directions. But I believe you have the capability of getting control of it. Obviously, with this phone in the break room, somebody is making long-distance calls, and I doubt that it is for business purposes. So either take the phone out of that, take the phone out of the break room, or fix it so there can't be any long-distance calls on it immediately. Because somebody's ripping you off, and I don't know how long this is going on.
The station does make some international calls, so some programmers do international calls. So
from the then they should have to ask permission to do that, or maybe have to have a code to get out on a long distance call.
Yeah.
But it is odd to be making calls from the break room, long distance calls at night.
Yeah, like for the example, for the month of August, the long distance or the international calls was $75. It's not that much, but they do exist.
Well, with the phone system that we had at KPFT, you had to press a 9, and then you had to press in a code to make a long distance call. I mean, most cell phones, you don't have these problems. But I mean, I would suggest that you find out who the person is that must make long distance phone calls and can kind of control that, so you know who specifically is doing that. So you just want to get some control over this. I mean, I'm sure the people in your development department are working on things like grants and trying to reach out to people, put KPFK in their will and other methods of revenue. But are you working right now with Mo to figure out what you can cut?
Yeah, we've actually had meetings about where we can cut.
Okay.
But
so can you tell us right now what you have agreed on as to what you can cut?
Some of the lines. That's what we want to try to do, cut some of the lines that are here at the station through AT&T.
Okay.
Teresa, may I interject a question to you?
All right, yeah.
I assume that the code system would be like a code system on a copy machine that will identify the user.
Right.
Got it. Thank you. Barry, could you make a commitment to us to look into that and see if that could be implemented?
Yeah, I sure will.
Definitely. I appreciate that. And that's what we're here for, Barry. We're trying to share ideas and help you figure out how to do this.
Right.
Not that we're experts or anything. It's just, you know, the more eyes on things, sometimes the better off it is. Fred, I think I heard you.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask Barry an additional question. I'm looking at a different billing statement that you provided. It's titled Phonality Bill Barry. There's a number 109-1386 12-8-2021. It's a PDF. This appears to be a billing statement from the call center that's been taking our pledge calls. It's located in Plano, Texas, on 5340 Legacy Drive. My question is: does this bill really belong in the telephone charges, or is this have more to do with not administrative charges, but maybe programming charges? Since this is part of the fund drive, this seems to be part of the fund drive.
Phonality is actually phone charges. It's also Teleconnect smart voice charges. What you're speaking of as far as the answering service is called Better Answer, and that's totally separate from Phonality. That's not part of Phonality.
Okay. Well, this is my confusion because I don't understand the system at the station. So you're saying this is actually part of the system at the station. It's not the call center.
No, the call center is called Better Answer. It's not called Phonality.
Okay. Well,
we used to use another company called Telerep for phone answering service too, but we went with Better Answer because they had a better percentage of answering the call. So we went with them.
Okay, so
the general manager made that decision.
So what is this is a fairly large bill from Phonality. It's monthly. It's about $1,700 or $1,800. $1,800 a month, which works out to about about $17,000 a year, maybe $18,000 a year. So what services are they providing? Is this providing for the station?
Well, It's on the paper there. I gave it to you. It spells it out there, right there, what you're paying for. Professional cloud bundle. That's one of the items that you're paying for. Because we're in the cloud for some of our data, and then we're also the Polycom physical phone systems. I told you that are in each office. That's being covered through Polycom.
TelConnect Smart Voice.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you.
If you look on that page, it tells you everything on there. It's on there, well, right there, on the actual invoice.
I'm a technically sophisticated person, but I still don't understand this. But I'll have to take your word that it's telephone related. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go to an observation from myself, and then I think we should move on. I know Chris mentioned he had some questions in other areas. I just want to observe, Barry, that you seem to have as many cell phones for the employees as WBAI has employees. And I know all of our employees don't get a cell phone, so I'm just wondering if you might take a suggestion back with you also, that some of the employees that have cell phones may not really need to have company-sponsored or company-paid-for courtesy phones. And, you know, most people have their own cell phones, and they can, you know, if they have unlimited calling, they can do whatever business they need to do for their job at no extra cost other than the initial call of the phone.
Okay, well, we did do cutbacks in our cell phone usage. You know, we went from paying like almost $400 a month, and now we're down to like $200 a month. We only have like four people on that.
Good.
T-Mobile cell phone expense. So, you know,
T-Mobile is a good company for inexpensive.
They're very
competitive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I appreciate that. All right, let's move on, and I have to say that I did have a timer going, but somehow it stopped, and I think we're about 30 minutes into this item at least.
Oh,
so
Mr.
does anybody
Chair?
Else? Yes.
We started at Eastern time, 8:41. It's now 9:35 Eastern.
Got it. Okay, so we're closer to... Oh, we're closer to the hour. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's go to Chris. You said you had some questions on other matters?
Yes, sir. So some of these will be quick. And for those of you who already answered from the last meeting, I didn't make notes from that since I was just doing a quick review. So if I'm asking the same questions, it's because of that fact and because we have Barry here.
No worries.
So the legal bills to KPFK, I'll do two right now. So the legal bills to KPFK are about, for the last year, or the projected for this year, are about $3,500. I'm assuming that that's labor related. Just confirm that or not. And then you also have, let's see, that's twice that. Pardon me. It's $89,000, so that's $7,000 a month, a little over $7,500. The other one is consultants and temps, which is coming in at $3,500. Could you outline what those two expense categories are, please? Thank you.
Okay. The professional fees legal, that pertains to the labor negotiations between SAG-AFTRA and the employees that are part of the union. We have to pay the law firm a
considerable
amount of money.
That's enough. That's enough on that. Thanks, Barry. I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you. And then the consulting fees?
Okay. Consulting fees are apprised of people who do web hosting that are not full-time or permanent employees, or some people that are contractual. like, for example, like Christine Blasdale, she's doing contractual work for the fund drive. That's what that pertains to.
Okay, thanks. I have more questions, but I'll let other people step in at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Is there anyone else?
Teresa for the staff.